This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The night was clear and the moon was yellow and the leaves came tumbling down.
Lloyd Price, Stagger Lee, that was one of his big ones. Personality. You know, he came up about the same time people like Fats Domino from New Orleans. He was a New Orleans boy. And he passed away a few days ago. Lloyd Price, thought we'd play a little bit of Lloyd Price for you this morning. But good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for joining us. It is Monday, May the 10th. Wow. One third of the way through the month already. In a few minutes, Will Reinhart of the Center for Growth and Opportunity will be joining us. And we're going to talk about Facebook's decision to uphold its ban on Donald Trump. Will Reinhart calls this a dangerous decision, so we'll talk with him a little bit about that. And do you ever watch those talk shows on Sunday? I like to watch them. Fox News Live, or Fox News Sunday, Meet the Press, the CNN show. Why didn't Meet the Press ask Dr. Anthony Fauci? They had him on. Why didn't they ask him about the COVID origins and the Wuhan lab? They breezed right by that. And that's a big deal right now because there's more focus on that lab. And you know he's involved with the lab. So we're going to talk a little bit about that with the proprietor of the barber pole a little bit later on, Andrew Sorace. I want to see what he thinks about that whole situation. And Democrats are pressing on with this election reform bill, Senate Bill 1, much to the chagrin of the Republicans. And we're going to take a look at that whole thing. What is behind it? Is it really ethics? Do they really think there is voter suppression by intentional voter suppression by Republicans? We're going to look at the issue. And in our top 10, you might remember a few shows back, we did the top 10 heaviest presidents. Well, we're going to give you the top 10 lightest presidents, the ones that barely tip the scale. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For my money, the best barber in Tampa Bay. They're located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Call first, 727-733-3773. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Also, I know you listen to Good Morning Clearwater because they're on just before our show. They're on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. We always like to give them a plug. For those of you that watch our show, you see that beautiful banner behind me. Tracy Allen worked that one up of the Paul and Tracy Allen duo. Good morning, Clearwater. All right, well, we've got a lot of things as usual on the plate. Have you noticed the price of gas going up? It is now, I don't even know what it is in California. I would guess, because it's the average now, it's over $3. That's the average across the country. I think we're around, I don't know, Ed, we're about 290 or 292 or something like that.
We've been hanging around the 280s, 290s, yeah. And now with the pipeline being hacked, that could bump it up another 10 to 20 cents unless they get it fixed quickly.
I hope so. There's apparently a bunch of Eastern Europeans. Why do people do that? What is it about them? Are they getting some sort of perverse pleasure?
It's some group that basically is holding the pipeline hostage and wants to be paid.
They want to get money.
So, whatever.
I hope they don't get a penny.
You know, it's probably some 12-year-old in a basement somewhere.
Oh, sure.
You know.
These are
with
weak,
a computer.
Weak-minded, weak-willed people. The average price of regular gasoline had jumped 6 cents. Over the past 2 weeks, it's now $3.02 per gallon. Here in Florida, we're always a little bit less than the average. I think Georgia is the same way. The industry analyst Trilby Lundberg said that the increase comes as the cost of crude oil and ethanol have risen, not to mention the hacking, the pipeline hacking. You know that the price is $1.05 higher than it was a year ago at this time? $1.05?
Mm.
Holy Toledo. The highest is in San Francisco. Are you surprised? The highest is $4.16 in San Francisco. No wonder everybody's homeless in San Francisco. They can't afford cars than driving around.
We're moving out of San Francisco.
Gosh. You know, the lowest price is $2.55 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, I'm not surprised. That's where all the refineries are. Mobile, Alabama. That'd be another place.
I think over a year ago, the lowest price I had ever seen, or in a long time, I think I had filled up for about $1.75 a gallon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where?
Well, that's
when
gas was only, remember gas was dipping below $2 a gallon.
Yeah.
And the place that I go, I can get a 10 cent discount from.
You have one of those cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, there's those places where if you get their membership card, it really is.
It's worth it. It is.
Yeah. If you get gas, you drive regularly, it would be. So this is just in line, and this is what's scary about when you know that when the cost of gas goes up,
everything goes up.
Yes, that's exactly it. The cost of everything goes up because how does the product get to the store? It gets there on a truck, and the truck has to have gasoline in it. And if it's costing the truck more to get there, they're passing the cost on, the transport cost. So what does that do? It means that you're going to pay more for the product. That's all. That's how it works. You know, a lot of people, especially socialist-leaning people, don't seem to care much about the cost of anything if they don't see it. You know, somehow it doesn't work in their brain. Like the cost of healthcare being risen and the federal government's intervention in all of these different things, which means that it's going to cost more. It never seems to register with them. But that's the way it goes, I guess. All right, let's do this. Let us take our break. We're going to come back, and after the break, we're going to talk with Will Reinhart, Center for Growth and Opportunity. He has penned a piece about the oversight board of Facebook deciding to uphold its ban of Donald Trump from its platform. So stay tuned.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello, everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Can Talk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works here on a Monday. And a member of Facebook's oversight board was making the rounds yesterday on the talk shows. He criticized Facebook in the wake of its ban on Trump, its indefinite ban on the former president. He said, Facebook's rules are in shambles. They're in shambles. He said, we gave them a certain amount of time to get their house in order. He said they needed some time because their rules are a shambles. They are not transparent. They are unclear. They are internally inconsistent. So he made a series of recommendations about how to make their rules clearer and more consistent. Now, that comes from Michael McConnell, a former federal judge. Well, we've got Will Reinhart with us, and he has written a piece about this whole thing. And Will, I would think you might tend to agree with that particular gentleman. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have been critical of Facebook for quite some time now, and especially the oversight board, because there is a lot that the oversight board needs to do and Facebook needs to do to get their house in order. I mean, there's this really interesting relationship going on between these two organizations. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're right. I personally wouldn't have done a long-term ban, maybe a short-term, you know, a short-term hold, like maybe a week or so for former President Trump. But it seems like Facebook is pretty indefinite on their ban of the president. And I think that's it really sets a bad precedent. But more importantly, I think that there really is a lot that the organization, the company needs to do to ensure that people have the right processes, right? That there's the right things in place such that that people know what's going on, right? That people know and are appreciative of the process and to make sure that, you know, that there is actually a way to deal with these problems when they do occur, but there's also a way for people to respond if their posts are taken down or their content's taken down. And that's, you know, there's a lot that's going on with Facebook, and this is just one part of a larger, I think, a larger problem that Facebook really does need to deal with.
Right. We're talking, if I didn't mention it at the start here, with Will, who is a senior research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity, and he penned a piece along with Chris Koopman about Trump's deplatforming. Being the oversight board's most dangerous decision. Here's the argument that they always make. Freedom of speech, we are a private company, and therefore we can set the rules. I think it's hard to break through that statement. However, they are running on what some people would call the public internet waves. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still very, this is a tough problem, right? I mean, because I don't really want to break the First Amendment just to kind of go after these companies. But at the same time, they do need to have accountability. And part of that does come from, you know, you and I talking and people pushing back on the companies and getting off the platform if they don't like what's going on the platform. So in part, this is, I think, not an easy thing for us to figure out what the best solutions are. And in fact, I at the end of the day, I'm kind of accepting that there aren't going to be any really great solutions, that if we try to, you know, we try to go after them for, you know, to basically respond with speech and to, you know, to ensure that people have the ability to speak freely, that, you know, the laws put into place are going to be political and it's going to change political speech. And, you know, we have a Biden administration now, but no, who knows what looks like the next administration for the Democrats or the Republicans.
Right.
So, those sorts of things really worry me, that it's like, well, you don't want to give politicians too much power to determine what goes on with these platforms. So, but this decision, I think, is interesting because the oversight board itself really doesn't have the power to determine this, right? They they're really given power over content and not over profiles being banned or not banned. So the oversight board really can only say, hey, you took down this piece of content, you should put that piece of content back up. It didn't say the agreement between Facebook and the oversight board really didn't stipulate, didn't allow for the oversight board to say anything about profiles, and especially President Trump. And so that to me is actually the most worrying part of this, that even though they didn't overturn Facebook's ruling, they injected themselves in it and said, yes, we do kind of have authority in this space. So the oversight board is expanding their authority beyond the kind of limited scope that previously constrained the oversight board. And that to me is a really worrying part of all of this, that the oversight board is going beyond what originally it was determined to do. And what does that mean for the future? Are they going to determine certain things that they probably shouldn't? And I don't know. That's the most worrying part for me.
Yeah. Well, now, Facebook is still owned by Zuckerberg, right? Mark Zuckerberg? Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he make the decision? Do they say, okay, we're going to suggest this, and then he makes the decision? Do you know how that works?
So this to me is actually it's an opaque process. He has been pretty tight-lipped about the decisions to get rid of, you know, people off the platform. So he, in part, yes, he does, you know, for the biggest players, yes, he is very much in the room when these decisions are made. But at the same time, from my understanding, some decisions have been made and he has been surprised by them. So not President Trump level, but other decisions that have been made with content regulation and content moderation. So there is this, effectively, from my understanding, there is this separation between him and a lot of the mid-level managers that are doing kind of the day-to-day content moderation. And obviously, there's a lot that's going on the platform beyond just this. You know, there are a lot of really, really big issues that they're trying to deal with beyond just content moderation and profiles and all that kind of stuff. So, he has control, but to a certain degree, he also doesn't really have control of this, if that makes sense. There's a lot within the actual structure of the institution of Facebook that really determines how these decisions are made. And in part, Zuckerberg really doesn't have a lot of control over those institutions at this point, but who knows if he really wants to try to change them fundamentally.
Yeah, but if he wanted to, since he owns it, he could just do it, couldn't he? I mean, he might not do it, but he could. Now, this all began with Trump. I don't know. People got... I think the January 6th incident, that's when this whole thing started, right? They placed a temporary suspension. But that was after an accumulation of things that Trump had been saying on things like Twitter. I don't know. It seemed to me they were looking for a reason to censor Donald Trump. I mean, that's really... And we don't seem to have that...
I think that is right.
We don't seem to have that situation with any liberal leading politician that I know of. Do you know of any... are they banning anybody on the left these days that big-time person?
Yeah, I mean, there have been bans on the left, but they've been journalists and journalists.
Yeah, but not like a Trump. Not somebody at the presidential or senatorial or congressional level or anything, right?
No, not at that level.
Okay.
So, but Trump's relationship with the media is very different than just about everyone else's. He's been, you know, and that was part of his, you know, meteoric rise as a president. His antagonism towards media it drove conversations. He was very good at kind of playing that relationship. So, in fact, I find Trump to be this very unique, interesting president for exactly that reason, that he had this relationship with the media and with platforms in a very different way that, you know, could portend something new in the future. But he is he's a very unique individual in that regard, that he was able to use the media in order to, you know, garner attention, rightly so. And he changed the entire ecosystem around that.
You know, the interesting thing, by the way, again, we're talking with Will Reinhart from the Center for Growth and Opportunity. The interesting thing about Trump and all of this is that it actually brings to the forefront probably something that we should be dealing with anyway, which is the right or non-right of vehicles like these things, Twitter and Facebook, to censor people's thoughts that are trying to, you know, get them out there for public view. So, I mean, even though, I don't know, this is going on, it seems like there is a positive to this. Do you think in some way or shape we're going to untangle this little conundrum and it will become something that we will have settled on or figured out?
No, I think that what we're seeing right now, and I've said this in some other forums, and I know we've talked about this before, is that we're still at a very early stage of understanding what digital media looks like. And we're still kind of fumbling with this, and we're still very much in this age, I think, of digital adolescence. So in part, what I'm really hopeful for are the things that are coming that are new. You know, you have new newsletters, the Substacks, right? You have these newsletters that are allowing people to get their content out through a different method that is separate from YouTube and separate from Facebook and Twitter and all the traditional social media. But it is a different kind of social media platform in itself. But then you also have the rise of things that we don't necessarily think about. So, you know, one theorist or one, you know, commenter called this the dark forest of the internet. This is like, you know, the Slacks and the private messages that everyone, you know, or a lot of people use pretty consistently. And that's actually a big part of what people use Facebook for at this point, is actually a lot of, you know, in-app messaging. There are people constantly trade, you know, information that way. And so those kind of, you know, the places that we don't hear about, these kind of private spaces, are, I think, the big shift that we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years. And you still don't have there is no censorship there, right? But as soon as it turns public, then there is this editorialization that does somewhat go on. The one thing I would say just generally about all that, though, is that, you know, even if they are censoring voices, Facebook and Twitter and YouTube still are protected under the First Amendment for their ability to censor, right? These companies can determine, and I think they should be able to determine what goes on to their platforms, and figuring out what that looks like and what the roles of individuals should be and what the roles of content creators should be in this new space, I think it's very, very difficult. And I think we're kind of jostling right now to figure out what that looks like.
Right. Now, Trump, of course, is trying to develop his own platform, I guess, or maybe he's developed it or it's going to come out. And then there's the Parler thing. And they tried I'm sorry? Go ahead.
Parler's back online, yeah.
Yeah, Parler's back on. And Parler would have allowed the things that Trump was saying. In fact, did. But then they got smacked down a little bit. And they're a platform.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very interesting how all of this is working out. So we've still got these, like you said, we're sort of in the Wild West still of the internet, right? And we got new things coming online all the time, new ideas, and I don't know what, all the technology. I mean, it's going at warp speed, which I think is kind of good. You know, it's like, I don't want the government, maybe I'll ask you this, Will. I don't want the government holding committee hearings and bringing these guys in. I'd rather let them all battle it out themselves and keep the federal government out of it. Your thought on that?
No, I'm very much in the same room, right? I'm very much in the same space as you on that I'd much rather see this being battled out. And the traditional way that we think about this, or at least the way that I think about it, is through, you know, exit and voice. You can either exit the platform and create your own new one, or you can voice your concerns with Facebook. You know, they do change, despite it, you know, it's slow and it's often arduous, but they do change and respond to consumers. And I think that's actually going to be a big problem they're going to be facing in the next couple of years, which is, there really has been this exodus. People are not using the platform as much. The time and content that is going over the platform has decreased. I mean, it's relatively plateaued. It's been somewhat small, but you can see this small but steady increase of people leaving the platform over the last 3 to 4 years. And so Facebook does face a lot of this pressure to figure out where, you know, if the newest generation, if Gen Z goes towards TikTok and towards other platforms like that, Instagram, or chooses something completely different, that you know, Facebook doesn't necessarily win in that world. So this may be a temporary, you know, they may be a temporary juggernaut, but who knows if they're the, you know, who knows if they actually win the battle at the end of the day.
Yeah. And throwing a little more into the mix, Google and algorithms and things like that, where they claim, well, you know, we don't do any, you know, it's all laid out in algorithms, you know, and it seems like certain content is not allowed and certain content is, and you, but they hide behind all of these things. None of them are, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of honesty with these moguls that run these things. You know? I mean, that's the feeling I get. It always seems to work to the detriment of conservatives. It seems to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I wonder, though, if so. I feel like conservatives have done pretty well on Facebook, right? I mean, some of the biggest shares have existed on Facebook. You know, the top sites that exist on Facebook are you know, conservatives. You know, the one, I mean, Ben Shapiro consistently gets the top numbers year, mm-hmm. you know, month after month after month when it comes to shares online.
Okay.
But are there tensions for conservative views? I think that's very clearly the case. So you have this really big tension for Facebook, which is that their content, and internally Facebook has had these tensions as well, that it's pretty abundantly clear that people that work at Facebook know that conservatives, by and large, really dominate the political news space. And yet there are, you know, there's a lot of concerns of whether or not that, you know, certain kinds of content is not allowed to go on Facebook. You know, we haven't really talked about the New York Post articles that have gotten taken down, and the kind of unequal treatment of, you know, say the founder of, you know, BLM and her, the homes she had, that's, you can't post that on Facebook, or at least it couldn't.
Yeah.
For about a week or so.
Right.
Those things are really like, yeah, but, and yet still conservatives do, I think, pretty single-handedly dominate Facebook. Whether or not they dominate, say, Twitter, I think is a different matter. But I think that there is a pretty strong sharing culture that exists within Facebook. So Facebook has this tension that individuals are using the platform pretty robustly.
Okay. Well, very interesting. It's always a pleasure to have you on, Will. Thank you so very much for your thoughts. I know we'll be talking again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Will Reinhardt of the Center for Growth and Opportunity. We will take our break. When we come back, why didn't Meet the Press? I mean, Anthony Fauci, he's all over the place like a big celebrity. Why didn't they ask him about the COVID origins and the Wuhan lab? We're going to talk about that with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Return the sender. Return the sender. I gave a letter to the postman.
Honored. Well, honored and delighted to have both of the Ceresi brothers with us. We've got Andrew, per usual, Ceresi, the master barber, and his brother, Angelo. We call him our eye in the northern sky up in Rochester, New York. And So on Meet the Press yesterday, Chuck Todd, the host, had Dr. Anthony Fauci. With all of the talk going on right now about where this virus came from, and more and more and more, I think people are starting to settle in on the idea that the Wuhan virus lab must have had something to do with this thing getting out into the public. But not a question was asked to Fauci about that, despite the fact that the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases funded research at the Wuhan lab, and Fauci's connected to it. So, Andrew, are you surprised that Meet the Press wouldn't bring something like that up to him?
Well, Paul, you answered your own question. You had Chuck Todd asking Fauci president.
That's true.
You know, asking him questions. But come on.
Yeah.
No, they're not going to ask him nothing. He's Chuck Todd's the biggest liberal fool you could find on television.
He is a big-time liberal. There's no question about that. They never, you know, they just let these questions. But you would think, you know, on a national talk show like this, you would think, I mean, it goes on NBC, too, you know, you would think that they would be embarrassed not to ask him something.
Well, the media is not embarrassed about nothing they do. They've been hiding this thing. They've been covering it up. They've been giving propaganda for a year now about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's over, Paul.
Yeah.
Ask the guy sitting next to you. It's over. That's all he talked about this morning, too. Let's get back to normal. But there's no numbers no more. They got away from it, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They're keeping up just to keep a little scare into people. This is their control. Look at the stores you're going to now. People still putting their masks on because they're afraid.
Yeah, they are.
They got vaccinated. They've done everything, and they're running with their masks on.
Yeah.
America, wake up.
Right. So, Angelo, up there in upstate New York, are things opening up more and more? Are more and more people going around without their masks? What's the deal there?
Well, people are still wearing their masks, but things are opening up. Cuomo's letting things open up only because they keep bringing up the scandals, and, you know, he keeps saying, I'm not going to resign, and he probably won't. You know,
yeah.
So, but things are opening up, but people are still, a lot of people are still scared. They scared the hell out of the public.
That they've done, or whatever has scared them. So I guess in Rochester and in New York itself, most of the people are lining up to get their shots. It's happening down here in Florida as well. Here I see Biden. I guess he's just, I don't know, wandering around with his mask among all these people that are already vaccinated. He's vaccinated. Even outside, he's wandering around with his mask. Isn't somebody going to tell him that he's okay? He doesn't have to worry about it among people that are vaccinated? What's going on? Andrew, is it just a big show with him, or is he just out of it?
He wants to keep the public scared.
That's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Well, he's got the public scared. He don't have to wear a mask to do that. Everything he's got going on, he's got everybody scared. Look at the gas, look at the lumber, look at the groceries, and look at the people that won't get off their ass to go back to work.
Yeah. Speaking about that, the U.S. Secretary of Commerce, Gina Raimondo, said on Fox News, the dismal April jobs report shows the economy has a long way to go, and this is why we have to be in there getting involved in it. Now, the U.S. added just 266,000 new jobs last month. They were expecting to add well over 1 million. So the guy says, we have a long way to go. There are so many Americans still struggling. 8 million fewer jobs than there were pre-pandemic. We are working very hard. What do you think, Angelo? Do you trust these people in Washington to figure out something when it comes to getting people back to work?
I don't think they want people to go back to work. Talking about all these stimulus packages, you can't, up here in upstate New York, you can't even get people to work with the stimulus packages they've given.
With the unemployment benefits, yeah. I mean, think about it.
No.
They're getting like $600 a week not to work. If my math is right, that's over $30,000 a year not to work.
Why would they want to go to work?
I know.
Kind of money.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, look at the restaurant business all over the country.
All over the country. And, like you said, gas prices going up, lumber going up, all the commodities going up.
Right.
How come under President Trump we never had any of this stuff? The Democrats come in, we're right back to how it was before.
Yeah.
Gas prices going sky high. I mean, everything depends on oil.
True.
Well, what?
Speaking about that, Andrew, did you hear about that compromise of our pipeline situation, and maybe some Eastern Europeans are demanding ransom money on it? Did you hear about any of that?
You know, Paul, what I don't understand, now, you can't tell me that this whole pipeline is run by a computer. They have to have manual overrides on all these.
You would think.
Okay, I mean, you'd have to be stupid to engineer something like that without a manual override.
Yeah.
I think it's a bunch of baloney, Paul.
Do you?
Of course. Listen, well, everything they try to pull, you know the gas is going to hit $4 a gallon in July. They're giving you a reason for it.
Yeah.
You've got to export it, okay?
But we never
you
had
want
that
to get the economy back?
Trump.
You want to get the economy back? Lower. You better lower the corporate tax that they're raising. So the corporations stay here. They're all flying out of this place. You're going to see Governor DeSantis will be the first governor to stop this unemployment crap that's going on to get these people off their fat asses to go back to work.
Yeah. What were you saying there, Angela?
We never had any of these problems with President Trump. I mean, somebody trying to extort our gas line? I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah, I mean, I think Andrew makes a great point. I mean, you can do all of this. You can press a computer button and turn a valve, shut off a valve. I mean, what exactly? How do they do that? I don't understand.
The American people buy their baloney. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. So now they got this voting bill, these Democrats. They're going to press ahead with it.
H.R. 1?
Yeah, it's an election reform bill. They got a bill in the Senate, too. S-1.
S-R-1.
S-1, yeah. They try to pass this bill in committee, send it to a showdown vote on the Senate floor. I'm hoping that people like, I mean, if we can get one Democrat like our friend Joe Manchin in West Virginia and that lady Democrat out in Arizona, she's Sinema.
Sinema.
Yeah. You know, I hope they have the common sense.
Let me ask you one question, Paul.
Yeah.
Everybody talks so great about Manchin. Every time it comes to a vote, what does he do?
He tends to backslide, but he did say that he's not going to vote for abolishing the filibuster, and he did say he will not vote to pack the court.
That's what he said. What he said and what he does are two different things.
You don't trust him, right?
No.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats always stick together. When it comes back, it'll be unanimous Democrat vote.
He's in a red state. I think they're watching him there, though. West Virginia.
It doesn't matter.
Huh?
I said, they can watch him. It don't matter. He's going to do what he's going to do. He's always done it, and he'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
If they pass that H.R. 1 and S.R. 1, this country's in deep trouble, because what they're going to do is cheat even more than they did back in 2020.
Yeah, they claim that there's voter suppression. In other words, that's for some reason Republicans get together and try to figure out a way to suppress the black vote. Which is not true.
The people.
Which is not true. They, you know, years ago, they had a poll tax. It was pretty obvious there was some of that going on, but not anymore. It is so easy to vote. It is so easy to vote. And this thing about not having a voter ID, that's a cop out.
Well, you know, when I say they cheated, I mean to say that they went around the state legislatures that were Republican-controlled. They went to these liberal judges into these liberal cities and got a judge to say that it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. And that's wrong. You have to, the Constitution says the state legislatures will set the election rules in this
state. Yeah, exactly. Every state has that right.
Not a judge. Well,
it's simple. It's called corruption.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's corruption.
Period.
It's cheating. No matter how you look at it.
Yeah. I mean, by its very nature, it's a power grab by the federal government to wrest control of the decision making from each of the states. That is not what the Constitution or the Founding Fathers wanted. They wanted states' rights and things like this, not a power grab at the very top.
Like Mr. Levin said, it's called American Marxism. That's what they want. They want to centralize everything, just like a communist country would do.
And the apathy of this country. Most people don't even know, you know, what we're talking about right now. Most people don't even have a clue.
No, they don't. And these are exactly the same people that will vote for president.
Yeah.
Think about it. This is why we have what we have in our country today. People don't have, people don't trust the government. People are really not getting their shots, right? Because they don't trust the government. They weaponized this whole coronavirus thing from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what has put this country into...
Well, you're right about that. Angelo, I have an idea. You know that your brother does not want to get the shot, but if you'll come down here, we'll go over to his barbershop. We'll hold him down.
Absolutely.
We'll hold him down, and I'll bring a nurse in with the shot.
You could give me a shot, but let it be vodka.
A direct injection into the bloodstream.
Right. No question about it.
Paul? Yeah.
Listen. You sat there and you said, we're getting $600 a week for unemployment. That's $30,000 a year.
Over it.
Well, they're baiting you to sit around and do nothing except socialism. But you know what? $30,000 is poverty level, isn't it?
I guess. $30,000, I don't know, $600 a week. I guess it's poverty level, but you can still buy a few groceries.
My wife spends that at Dillard's a week.
Really?
Oh, you got no idea. That's the queen bee.
Oh my goodness! You know what we're saying though. When you're getting that kind of money, if it's anywhere close to a wage at a restaurant, which are you going to do? Going to get in your car and drive to that restaurant with the lousy hours and the cheap tips and all the dirty dishes, or are you going to sit home and watch Netflix?
Those are the choices they made to do for work. You need to make better choices when you're younger.
Yeah, but we need to cut back. The federal government has no business sending out unemployment checks. None. If the states...
Especially with money they don't have.
Exactly.
Remember the good old days when you had a job and you couldn't make ends meet? You got a second job.
Yeah.
That's right. I did.
I did too. Yeah.
Nothing succeeds like knowing you have to go out and get some work if you want to eat. Nothing succeeds like that. You're going to find a job damn quick if that's the case. Right?
Oh, and they want to give you free schooling too, by the way.
Of course.
Andy and my father, Andy and myself, our father, he always worked two jobs to make ends meet.
Sure.
My mom didn't work for a long time, and my father, he worked two jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, they did whatever it took, and they were the better for it. So were you guys growing up.
You know what? My old man worked two jobs for a long time, and I worked in a gas station, in the wintertime with the salt and the... water, snow dripping on me and everything.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you stories about that up in Chicago, but yeah. All right, my friends. It's always a pleasure to talk with both of you. Thank you so very much. Angelo, always a pleasure every Monday. Andrew, we will talk with you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And we will talk with you again, Andrew, tomorrow. So thanks, guys.
You got it, buddy.
All right.
See you later. Take care.
Take care. There they go, the Ceresi brothers. Let us take our break. When we come back, among other things, we'll look at that Senate election reform bill and also the top 10 lightest presidents.
Let's fly, let's fly away. If you can.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippen directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
By the way, we're here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, not just on Blue Monday, as Fats Domino would tell you, but Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. So we hope you will listen to us live. But if you cannot do that, we understand. That's why we put all of our shows on podcast. Big Ed has every one of them available most recently. All you got to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, and punch the podcast button. You will see that who the guest is for that particular show and the top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, as we said, the Democrats are pressing ahead in both the Senate and the House with this election reform bill. They argue it's necessary to safeguard voting rights that are what they call under attack. Republicans pledging to fight the legislation, they call it a Democratic power grab to federalize local elections. So this is all going to come to a head tomorrow morning. The Senate Rules Committee will hold a hearing to advance the election overhaul legislation. That'll be interesting. If the last hearing on this is any indication, tensions will be high as they try to pass this bill out of committee. Both Chuck Schumer, who's now the Senate Majority Leader, Democratic, and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican, launched heated broadsides against each other. And Schumer said, instead of doing what you should be doing when you lose an election, attempting to win over those voters, Republicans are trying to disenfranchise the voters. Shame on them! But McConnell said that the Democrats were trying to forcibly rewrite election laws in all 50 states. And I think that's closer to the truth. And that's very, very scary. All right, before we go, I got to wake up Ed here. But before we go to our top 10, Ed, I believe this is the last day or last evening for hockey regular season. I think the Lightning are playing their final game. You correct me if I'm wrong. Does that mean that the playoffs will start like later this
Thursday? I think they start. I'm not sure. Okay. They got whomped the other night.
They did.
I think they're they might be in danger of slipping the fourth seed.
Really?
I have to check. If things go wrong for them,
I don't think they're. I mean, they're in third place, right? Well, they've got Carolina Florida team,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, ahead of them. What's with all these Southern teams? You wouldn't think Southern teams would be as good as no, but all these Southern teams are doing well. Las Vegas.
Well, you know what? A lot of players want to come down here.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess so.
They want to live in Florida. They don't want to live in Minnesota anymore.
Yeah,
you know, places like that. You know,
I feel bad for the northern cities. We got all their athletes down here.
We've proven that the ice can be kept ice in Florida, and
yeah,
you know, with football, the same thing.
So are we going to get back? The two guys that I worry about are Stamkos and Kucherov.
Yes.
Will they both be back?
You know, Stamkos was skating. We just haven't heard anything, but that's the way John Cooper is, the head coach. I mean,
did you know they fired, speaking of coaches, they fired Tortorella, who used to be the...
Yes, Blue Jackets.
He was the Columbus Blue Jays.
Yes.
He brought a Stanley Cup to Tampa Bay.
Yes, he did.
How quickly they forget.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Ed. Remember we did top 10 heaviest presidents not too long ago? So we went back and we found out who the top 10 lightest presidents are. I want to see, and I'll give you a hint at the end, Ed, but I want to see if you can guess who the number one lightest president is. So here we go. This is, by the way, from POTUS.com. Top 10 lightest presidents. Number 10, William Henry Harrison. He was our ninth president. He weighed 162 pounds. Okay. Number nine, John Tyler. Now, he followed. He was right after Harrison. He was 10th. And he was lighter than Harrison. He was 160 pounds. All right, number eight. What's with the name Harrison? Number eight was Benjamin Harrison. Did you know we had two Harrison presidents?
I did not know that, no.
Yes, he was our 23rd president, Benjamin Harrison. He also weighed 160 pounds. Okay, number seven. The peanut farmer. Jimmy Carter.
You know, I just saw photos of him in
He must only weigh
Rose.
Weighs about 75 pounds now. He looks shrunken.
You know, they had Biden sitting next to him.
They look like giants.
There wasn't a whole lot of difference between the two of them.
They both look so frail, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's up there. He's in
Jimmy's 95?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, when he was president, he weighed 160 pounds. He wasn't big then either. Mm. Okay. Number six. And he drank all of that whiskey. I don't understand why he didn't gain weight. Ulysses S. Grant.
Mm.
He was our 18th president. 156 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know Trump's not on this list.
I don't believe he made the other list, remember?
Yeah.
He was third on the other list, remember? Okay. Number five. Now, this guy was really tiny. I'm not surprised. He was our second president, John Adams.
Mm-hmm.
John Adams. 150 pounds. That's pretty light. Number four. Calvin Coolidge. Do you know anything about Calvin Coolidge?
No, not a whole lot.
Quick joke. Truth. It's not a joke. Okay. Lady came up to him and said, I have a bet with my friend that I can get you to say more than two words. And Coolidge said, you lose. Okay, Calvin Coolidge. He was our 30th president, 148 pounds.
Mm.
Wow. Number three. Franklin Pierce. Nobody gives a continental damn about Franklin Pierce, but he was our 14th president. Ed, I want you to do a term paper on Franklin Pierce, okay?
A short one.
Yeah. He weighed 144 pounds. Wow, that's pretty light.
Yeah, really.
144 pounds. Okay. Number two. And this one surprised me. I always thought Andrew Jackson was tall and, well, maybe he was tall. He must have been as thin as a bone. He was our 7th president. He only weighed 140 pounds. Mm. His hair alone weighed about 60 pounds, if you've ever seen a picture of him.
Yeah, I was thinking when Kamala Harris is present shortly.
Yeah.
She'll top all that, won't she?
Yeah. You mean top it with her hair or top it with how light she is?
How light she is.
Yeah. All right, Ed, we're at number one now. I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
He was one of our founding fathers. Big time.
George
Washington?
Yeah.
About
Lincoln. Let's go with Lincoln.
Well, Lincoln wasn't a founding father.
Okay,
that's right.
Okay, so let's go George Washington.
George? Okay, roll. James Madison.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Little Jimmy. Did you know that he was our 4th president?
Okay.
He was involved in writing the Constitution. 100 pounds. 100 pounds.
Wow.
How can you be that little? I mean, he must have been over in a quarter. You had to be afraid you'd step on him.
His wife probably weighed more than he did.
Oh, I'm sure she did. That must have been an interesting situation now that I think about it. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will indeed be back again tomorrow, Tuesday. But remember this, freedom works.
And I'm waiting on the 1205. Hoping it'll take me just a little farther down the line. Just a heartache in disguise. Won't you keep my heart from breaking if it's only for a very short time? Playing with the queen of hearts, knowing it ain't really smart. The joker ain't the only fool.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Big City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth. I'm Steve Kathan. A group claiming responsibility for the ransomware attack on a key East Coast pipeline says it's looking to make money, not trying to create problems for society. The information came in a website statement. CBS's Catherine Herridge reports thousands of miles of pipeline are still closed.
DarkSide is a relatively new group, but based on its techniques and its pattern of activity, the experts we spoke to here at CBS say they...